Well, good afternoon. Welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. We'll have the community calendar just following this show between us and the County Connections coming up at 12:30. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments and new paradigms as our vibrant communities of creative and innovative citizens continue to do good work. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
As always. Our special guests today are two out of three childhood friends who grew up here in Port Townsend and who co-founded a tiny game company called Three Much Fun. And this is their first project, and in true Port Townsend fashion, they've allowed their creative imaginations and talents to flourish unabashedly. They also represent Port Townsend's youth, who, instead of fleeing their hometown for other parts, have returned here with gusto to their roots to become contributors to the craftsman and maker culture that makes our town what it is. Dakota Sandoval Gay was born in Ojai, California, but he relocated to Port Townsend at the tender age of two. He loves watching erotic thrillers from the 1990s, playing all manner of board games, eating Vietnamese food, and dancing until his hammies hurt. He studied history at Seattle Pacific University for a time and then lived in Seattle for several years until he returned home to Port Townsend to start a cannabis business with his father, Martin Gay. He now takes care of his father while pursuing Three Much Fun, a small game business and its first official project, which we're going to talk about today. Henry Nolan was born in Port Townsend. He studied English and theater at Whitman College and now works in marine design. He has a three-year-old son who is an avid watercolor painter and accomplished high decibel shrieker. Henry's hobbies include video games, tabletop role-playing games, and occasionally telling people that he hikes. His prized possession is a step-through frame e-bike with attached child seat, and he's looking forward to seeing Sylvan Esso at Thing and experiencing full government disclosure on unidentified aerial phenomena. Their third entrepreneurial partner is Daniel McCurdy. He's unable to join us today, but he's definitely here in spirit. The three of them, along with talent of illustrator Connor Nolan, have developed a character creation and word-building activity book that comes to life with the roll of a die. It's called Roll for Your Life. Dakota and Henry, welcome to Community Tides.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for being here. What is Roll for Your Life, and how did you hatch the idea?
Roll for Your Life is, like was just said, a character creation and world-building activity book, which means that you roll dice, and those outcomes kind of create a string of attributes. And then you put those together, and at the end of a given chapter, whether that's wizard or alien species, you have a fully fleshed-out character that you were involved in creating by stringing that together with your imagination. And that really came together, and Henry can speak to this too, because since childhood, the three of us and more had been hanging out and wanting to tell stories, whether that's movie ideas, video game ideas, you know, just one-off experiences where that's it, or building a story over weeks. And we found that using dice to create randomness was a fun little activity at first, and then that pastime really evolved into the book we have today, which is Roll for Your Life.
And is this a game that one plays, like a book that you use on your own, or does you have a group of people that creates characters and then you all come together and have create scenarios?
Yeah. Henry and I always, like, and Daniel always did it together. It was most fun. We found to like really compare outcomes and see how they might, you know, all exist in one place or, it can certainly be enjoyed as a solo experience, as a means to kind of jumpstart creativity.
And Henry, you have a sense of design, and I think that coupled with our illustrator, Connor, the three of you, but the four of you end up being a pretty good combination, I would say.
I hope so. I my life path has been various activities that are sort of assembling disparate components into a cohesive, functional, and occasionally beautiful whole. Like doing theater in college, it's a multidisciplinary art where you have to make all the parts to fit together. Same thing in marine design. You make a fair hull, you figure out the materials, and then in my experience, it's often like finding the appliances and making sure they fit in the boat and everything. Everything's got to fit. So Roll for Your Life is kind of like that, except it intentionally throws a wrench into the works in the form of randomization. But we think that's fun. We're not crafting a specific narrative or a specific setting or anything. We're setting the parts out in front of people who like telling stories so that they can roll the dice and put them together themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
I love that idea. I got to see the book right before the show, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
And I was wondering if you could tell us about the illustrator, Connor Nolan, and how you all work together.
Yeah, I'd love to. Connor was found actually through Instagram. One of my favorite illustrators for a book called The Wildlife of Star Wars. I think her name is Terry Whitlatch, and I apologize if I get that wrong. But I was looking at people that she was following on Instagram, and Connor was one of them. And I look at his page, and his art was just perfect for this project, but also just incredible on its own. And I reached out to him, and I was lucky enough to have him reach back to me. And then we've been collaborating on this project for a year and a half plus now. And he's been there every step of the way, really giving him, much like the book, prompts. And then he runs with that, you know, specific attributes. Oh, I'd love this wizard to look like this, or this alien to have these traits. And then he goes for it. And it really, yeah, he's been a wonderful collaborator. It's been great.
Well, this randomness that you're speaking of, how does that work?
Well, we use a six-sided die for the entire book, but sometimes tables will be larger. We have some tables that go up to 36 outcomes. But you roll a die, and then, for example, age, you might have a young wizard, an older wizard, and then depending on your dice roll, if you get a six, oh, maybe that's an ancient wizard, right? If you get a one, maybe that's a young, you know, wizard fresh out of wizard university. You know, it's this various things, but the dice roll determines a specific keyword, and that's your outcome. And then you write that down, and then you move on from there. So you get your school of magic, your assistant, your home location, and all those have various outcomes that you'll roll dice for.
So it's essentially like a set of random tables, but for each like discrete chapter, like wizard, alien species, noir, detective, dragon.
Mutant.
We've carefully picked the categories that we want to roll on and have strung together. And the way it's written is that sometimes the outcomes you get by rolling your die will sort of seem like contradictions.
Yeah.
And it's by design, because I think that some of the most interesting characters, set pieces, locations, vehicles, whatever, in fiction, in the big genres, have internal contradictions that make them interesting, just like real people and just like the real world.
That's the theater in you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Contradiction by design, right?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that was all really, like, just to piggyback one more time on that, is every outcome's really intentional. We spend a lot of time fine-tuning all these elements so that they will fit together but also spark against one another and create that conflict. Because it really is the interesting part, is saying, oh, I didn't imagine my character taking this left turn, and now I have to reconcile that with the rest of the kind of build I've been having. And we also do not just characters, but locations like a fantasy tavern and objects like swords. So it's meant to be kind of the whole gamut, yeah.
And the fitting together of all those pieces is so complex, but you've made it really easy. Like, I got the game as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, totally get how this works.
Oh, great.
Is there a minimum age for folks that...
Well, maybe 10, 12 and up. I mean, we really want it to be accessible. Sometimes we dive into genre.
Yeah, like we have a film noir chapter, basically, like noir detective, that's like got some, it touches on like bad vices and like traumatic past, like genre stuff that is not like overtly filthy, but is probably best suited for 12 and up or so.
Yeah, but it's meant to be super accessible, easy to learn, and built to make it so, yeah, like you said, first glance, we hope you get it. And that's why we really want to get it in front of people, because it is sitting in that space between a traditional board game and a role-playing game, you know, an activity. But once it's in front of you and the dice start rolling, we think it really kind of comes together.
You know, in your description, you talk about integration. And for those of us that don't play board games as a rule.
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean? When you say integrating into other systems, what do you mean?
Well, I play a lot of tabletop role-playing games, which are sort of make-believe with a rules structure and more dice rolling. And in those games, one player takes on the role of the game master traditionally, and the other players are play one character each. Each other player inhabits a specific character, and they narrate their actions, and the dice tell you to what degree you succeed. And so the game master is the entire world, and the players are each one character. Yeah. So the way this book is useful in that context is that if you want to create a character as a player or as a game master, you can, and you don't know where to start, you could roll. If you want to be a wizard, roll for wizard. If you want to be a gladiator, roll for gladiator.
Yeah.
And then there won't be like a one-to-one mapping of your outcomes onto a tabletop role-playing system, but you'll have a narrative framework to use, if that makes sense. I'm sorry if this is jargony. I know tabletop RP.
You're doing fine.
Thank you.
I think what I'm hearing is that you have more options to use your own creativity to guide the outcomes of the game.
Certainly, and it's intended just as a creative resource. It's a springboard to whatever storytelling narrative thing you want to do, or for me, it's fun to just do by yourself. Like, that's how it started, is us being like, let's roll for swords as like preteens. Like, yeah, well, what if my sword had, it's got an amulet on it and it's got a jade inlay on the blade. Oh, and so adding the dice to that kind of makes it a game. It's like a little game.
Yeah, gamifying the creative aspect of it was certainly a goal, because it keeps you engaged. We have a thing called do-overs. So if you really, really don't like an outcome you get, you can re-roll the dice and try and get something else. You always, we in the past, actually, when we re-rolled, if you got the same outcome, you had to keep it. We kind of did away with that to make it more fun. But either way, there is an ability to kind of say, oh, that's not, I really have a clear image now, and that one's not jiving, so I'm going to re-roll.
This is all leading me to asking this question. What is the game master's role, actually?
Yeah.
A game master's role in a tabletop role-playing game, they are at once a narrator, a referee, a proctor, kind of. They make sure that the players, it's everybody's responsibility to know the rules, but they basically are the entire world that the players explore.
The
so
computer.
This is a good resource for them, like the dungeon chapter. I mean, dungeons are a mainstay of games like Dungeons and Dragons. So it's like a location to explore in a tabletop role-playing game.
Yeah.
Roll for Your Life will give you a place to start with a dungeon, the denizens that might be in it.
Yeah.
So a game master is the narrator and the world, basically, in a tabletop role-playing game.
And one more thing, speaking to how this could assist someone doing tabletop role-playing, is I had a buddy saying he loves the game system and making his character with the mathy elements and getting that all dialed in and making sure he's doing this much damage and all that. But for backstory, that was always tough for him. So this can be a narrative supplement that can help you start thinking about your character, not just in terms of dice rolls, but in terms of, oh, where did I come from? How am I? What are my goals as a character, right? Yeah, and we think that freeform element really assists in that creative aspect.
Not exactly an umpire, not balls and strikes, but just
close, though, yeah.
But close, right?
I love the idea of this growing out of your childhood friendship, and then you all kind of bringing your entrepreneurial spirit to it. And I'm curious about... First of all, I'm really proud that you all are doing this from Port Townsend, that you're of Jefferson County and still here and doing this here.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, like, what about this community has helped you kind of get to this point? And what do you wish there was more of that could help you?
I would say my friends is a huge, the tight-knit nature of this community, the fact that I still have friends from the age of 2, from the age of 3, from the age of 8, and we still all communicate and share our experiences, and that feels very open.
And they're here, whether they're physically here or not physically here.
Yeah, and we went to Swan School, which was a great, that's where we met. I think actually my mom would correct that. I think we met in play school. But at Swan School, we formed a friendship, and we're wearing Tevas and sweats, and we're sprinting around, and we're very unjudged in the playground, you know what I mean? So we were, I think, put in a position to facilitate this creative stuff and enjoy it, and it was... I think the community really fostered that energy and was very encouraging to the kind of artistic elements of what we wanted to do. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I was definitely surrounded by people who harped on the importance of making up stories, and so it became very important to me. I think aside from all the basic hierarchy of needs, whatever, making up stories, especially together, especially for me, like improvisationally with people who also enjoy that kind of creative activity, is my favorite thing to do. And I've consistently found other people who like to do that in this community.
Yeah. We were playing Dinosaur Hunter until we were like 14. So,
Imagination reigns.
Imagination
exactly.
reigns.
Exactly.
first of all, is it on the market? How can people get the game? Yeah. And how what are other ways that our community can support you?
I think the community can support us by spreading the word about Roll for Your Life, which is now, and this kind of dovetails, on Kickstarter. So we're trying to raise money to get this book published in its intended form, which is a hardcover, 8.5 by 11, fully illustrated, you know, 200 plus pages. It's going to be a really beautiful thing, we hope, that can occupy people's shelves. And so we're raising money right now to pay artists, pay for print costs, all those different pieces. So you can find us at rollforyourlife.info/Kickstarter, or you can Google Roll for Your Life Kickstarter, and we should populate pretty quickly there. Yeah.
I have one more question to ask you. We have a minute or two left. Everybody needs a mentor. Tell me who your mentors were. They usually come down generationally, and I'm curious.
I would say for me, in the context of this sort of collective storytelling and tabletop gaming, for me, it's a person from this community named Tim or Crow, who passed away in the last few years, who we started hanging out with as teens and who really was a game maker
fostered
themselves, and really fostered the love of this kind of marriage of game stuff and storytelling. So that's it for me. It's maybe more of a role model than a mentor, but I think about Tim a lot.
Could be one and the same. How about you, Dakota?
I'd say my parents. My mom is incredibly driven, and that drives me, and my dad. And Michelle Sandoval and Martin Gay are their names. And then Dave McMackin, who also passed away, who did art for our cannabis company, he was always encouraging me to chase after the kind of loftier ideas. So, yeah, my parents and Tim as well, and Crow, yeah.
Well, it's great to see you all doing them all proud, I'm sure.
Thanks so much. We're trying to.
Yeah, so Dakota Sandoval Gay and Henry Nolan, thank you. Two representatives from Roll for Your Life. And it's been really enjoyable to have you on the program today.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.